Peace be to you and grace from him who freed us from our sins, who loved us all and shed his blood that we might saved be. Please be seated. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On Sunday, May 18th, 1980, at 8:32 a.m., Mount St. Helens in Washington State erupted, sending 3 cubic kilometers of ash and rock skyrocketing into the air and cascading down the side of the mountain at over 200 miles per hour. 35 miles away on Mount Adams, an eyewitness to this unimaginable scene, Miss Suzanne Christensen, dropped, awestruck, to the ground. If we had a projection screen in here, I would share with you the series of photographs of this incredible event that were published in National Geographic magazine 20 years ago. I would share them with you so that you could see the progression of events that I'm talking about. A picture is worth 1,000 words, they say, and these pictures from National Geographic vividly portray how we human beings respond to forces that are beyond our control. That is, to forces that threaten us and overpower us and make us realize just how small and insignificant we really are. The top of the mountain goes bang and disappears behind a cloud of rock, smoke, and ash. And just like Suzanne Christensen, all we can do is fall to the ground and hang on. This must be how the children of Israel felt as they camped at the base of Mount Sinai. The book of Exodus describes it like this. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." Do not have God speak to us or we will die. The lesson here is clear. When sinful people, when impure people, when frail, unholy people like you and me are confronted by the pure, holy, righteousness, and all-powerful Creator of the universe, when we experience God raw and uncut, it's nigh unto impossible for us to do anything but fall on the ground and wish that we were someplace else, any place else. When God comes to people like you and me to tell us straight out how things are and how they're going to be, the experience is too much for us to bear, let alone comprehend. As my youngest daughter exclaimed one evening when I was reprimanding her, "Daddy, stop! I'm too scared to listen." That's what Israel's problem was, wasn't it? They couldn't stand to be in the withering presence of the Almighty. It was so terrifying that they pleaded for an alternative. Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see his great fire anymore, or we will die. God had come to them up close and personal to tell them how to be his faithful and fruitful people. And it had all been too much. They were too scared to listen. So the Lord gave them plan B. He gave them Moses. Moses was the one who, during their years of wandering in the wilderness, conveyed to them the words of their God. Speaking for Yahweh, Moses passed on the words the people needed to hear if they were to be both faithful and fruitful. Don't listen to other voices, Moses warned them. Do not listen to those who practice divination or sorcery, who interpret omens, engage in witchcraft, cast spells, or consult the dead. That's what the people in the land of Canaan are already doing, and you're not going to be like them. Rather, you will be the Lord's faithful and fruitful people, and to do this, you will have to listen to his words. But Moses wouldn't be around forever, which is why in our text for today, God promised another. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. After Moses, they would get Joshua, and then the judges, and then the prophets, and ultimately they would get the prophet par excellence, the Son of God himself. All they needed to do was listen. Listen to these divinely appointed truth tellers, and they would hear the word of God. They would receive the message of salvation. They would have the direction and the power that they needed to be and remain the faithful and fruitful people of God. But they didn't listen. And they did not keep faith. And they were not fruitful. Isaiah the prophet had it right. Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. But they didn't understand, and they didn't turn, because they would not listen to the prophet of the Lord. Things haven't changed all that much, have they? We still have a hard time listening to the prophet, don't we? I know, it's not that he can't be heard. It's just that we have this habit of hearing only what we want to hear. It happens all the time, this problem of selective listening that we have. During the Super Bowl, my wife asked me a number of questions. I guess she asked a number of times. At least that's what she told me afterwards. But I never heard her. I tuned her out. I only heard what I wanted to hear. When I was on vicarage, I preached a sermon on that text from 1 Peter that goes, "Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith." Time and time again in that sermon, I stressed over and over again how by using that word sober, St. Peter was encouraging us to be alert and attentive to the schemes of the devil so that we could repel his sinister attacks whenever they came. Yet what did I hear afterwards out in the narthex but one woman chewing out her husband? "See, even the vicar thinks you should stop drinking." She had been listening, but she only heard what she wanted to hear. My brothers, one day very, very soon, you who are in here will be out there pastoring God's church. Your ministry is to be marked both by faithfulness and fruitfulness. Once you are out there, however, your ears will be bombarded by all kinds of messages encouraging you to say and to do all kinds of things. Some of these voices will say things like, "Follow these 39 principles for marketing your church, and you too can have a dynamic congregation." Other voices will say, "We've never done it that way before." Some voices will seek to get you to sell your confessional birthright for a mess of watered-down, theologically empty pottage devoid of the cross of Christ. Others will say, "Pastor, what we'd really like you to do is to help us maintain the comfortable status quo that we've built here for ourselves." You will hear it all when you are out there. How will you listen? My brothers, you are here to learn how to hear. You are here to learn how to listen and to learn who to listen to. For you see, in the past, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. This Son is the one Moses spoke about. He is the one the prophets spoke about. He is the one the awesome God of Mount Sinai himself spoke about when he said on the Mount of Transfiguration, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And if you do listen, and you do hear, you will know what to say, and you will know what to do so that you and your flock remain both faithful and fruitful. And when the day comes that you haven't listened, that you've broken faith and become unfruitful, then on that day, please listen to Jesus again. Hear him tell you about a cross he carried for you, about a death he died in your place, and about a second chance he's made available to you to start all over again. Hear him say to you, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool." He can say that, you know. He can say that because he is the prophet, the one Moses wrote about, the one mediator between God and man. He can say that because he is the Word made flesh. And because he is who he is, what he says goes. So listen. Listen to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.